So last week we started on our series of parables in Luke's Gospel. And for those who weren't here, the first thing we had to think about was, well, what is a parable? What's it all about? And we were reminded that a parable is a short and simple story or illustration from everyday life which aims to teach some spiritual truths. Jesus told the parables, and it's those parables we're going to concentrate on. The stories are true to life, aren't they? They're not fables. We all perhaps know fables. Stories like the tortoise and the hare. Do you remember that story? Those are fables. They're not really true to life, are they? But the stories the Lord Jesus told were true to life. People could relate to them and understand them. But he wanted them to have a deeper meaning. You can understand them at one level, but there's another more important meaning. And we used a little phrase last year that we often use about parables, and we've told the children of many times. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Gordon changed it a little bit. He said someone has called it an earthly story with a heavy meaning. And there's some truth there, isn't there? So the story's with a purpose. And I think I've used the illustration that just as you've got to unwrap a chocolate to get to the good bit on the inside, so you've got to unwrap the story to get to the good bit on the inside. And Jesus is telling these stories very clearly with a purpose. And I guess the stories are meant to prompt us to ask ourselves, I'm listening and hearing it, but I need to think about it, because what is Jesus really getting at? He wants people to hear, but more than just hear the story, to think about it and to get something from it. Actually, this week's parable is very easy, because not only did we have the story, but we had the meaning, didn't we? So you might say, Mr. McCann, you can finish now, we've got it, thanks very much. But of course it doesn't work like that, does it? When a preacher's got something to say, he's going to say it, and I'm going to say it today. And so this is one of the few parables where Jesus actually says, here's what I'm getting at. And if you're sort of scratching your head and say, well, I don't quite understand parables, you're not alone, are you? Because the disciples knew that there was some sort of point to it, but they just couldn't understand what Jesus was saying. And so they went to him, we read in the verse, the disciples asked him what the parable meant. And Jesus go on to explain why he's using parables, that he wants people not just to hear and it just sort of wash off them, or get snatched away from them. He wants them to make it their own, to think about it, and to be affected by it. And he went on in verse 11 to say, this is the meaning of the parable, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So there's a message going out from God, like a sower sowing the seed. And it doesn't just relate to Jesus' time, it relates to our time, because these parables are good for all ages. God's message is going out. Everyone hears the message. They all hear the same message. It's the same seed. But not everybody responds the same. And that's what Jesus was getting at in this parable. To challenge people, what is their response to the message of God? I'd like to have a look at this. And I'd like to have a look at our story from the point of view of the seed. From the point of view of the seed. And the first point I want to talk about is the secret in the seed. The secret in the seed. Seeds are little miracles, aren't they? You take these tiny little seeds, you plant them, you grow them on, you water them, you move them into the bigger pots, you put them outside to harden up. And then you get lovely flowers or vegetables or whatever it might be. All from one little seed. And the secret of the seed is it carries within it life. New life. And often one seed produces lots of fruit, doesn't it? It produces abundant life. And so we can begin to see what Jesus is getting at when he speaks about the seed being like the word of God. God's message for us. God's message carries within it new life. New spiritual life available to us. Something that changes us from the inside outwards. We We could say that the message from God at its heart is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And we've just been thinking of that good news at Christmas. The message of the angels was, to you is born a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And it's this gospel, the gospel of a Saviour, which changes lives and can give us new life, new spiritual life within us. Brought into the family of God, living for God, and with a home in heaven promised to us. The Apostle Peter, who would have been one of the disciples who heard this message about the sower, he puts it like this in his letter, 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, he says, that's the new life that's within us. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. The living and enduring Word of God. And for us, the Word of God, the message for us, is contained in our Bible, the Old and New Testament. When we want to know what the message of God for us is, when we want to know what the seed is, we look in our Bibles. It's the foundation for our faith. And Peter calls it the living and enduring Word of God. That's what it is for us. And the secret of God's message and the preaching of the gospel is that life can be changed and new life can be given. What a tremendous miracle that is. The secret in the seed. But then we had the sowing of the seed. There's the sower sowing the seed, and we thought about how he does it, his hands in the seed and just walking up the field, just spreading it and distributing it. How is the Word of God distributed so that people might hear today? Well, if we went on a little bit further in 1 Peter 1, he says this. After the verse I just read, he says, and this is the word that was preached to you. That's what made the difference to them. The message was preached to them. The seed was sown in their hearts and lives, and they responded to it. They received the seed. They received it well because they were born again, and they were born again through the effect of the Spirit of God and the living and enduring Word of God. So one of the ways, and one of the important ways, that the message of God, the truth of the gospel, God's Word, the Bible, can be explained and introduced to people is through preaching. And that's what we do here. That's why we've got 20 minutes for me to talk to you. I'm talking, I'm giving a message, I'm preaching. I'm taking the Word of God and explaining it to you, and I'm trusting and praying that the Word of God will have an effect in your lives. And Paul has said this evening, we have another time. We call it Word and Worship. Word, the seed, Word and Worship. A time when we will have 20-25 minutes of somebody preaching from God's Word. We'll be distributing the seed, and those of us who are here will receive something of it. So preaching is one of the key ways in which the Word of God can be sown. But there are a multitude of other ways today, aren't there? Just some examples. It can be through printed paper. We've got physical Bibles that we can have God's Word distributed to us. There are those who will print booklets. There'll be calendars with Bible verses on it. Nowadays, it's very much the electronic media, DVDs, internet sites, iPad apps. It can be distributed through one-to-one chats. When we speak to people and we just very quietly say the difference that the Lord Jesus has made in our lives and how being a Christian really is helpful, that's sowing the seed. It can be through music, which clearly explains the message and the words of the songs. It can be through big posters that are put outside, like we've got outside our church here. Distributing the Word of God, sowing the seed that people might hear it, if not through their ears, then see it through their eyes as well. Getting the message out there. Can I give you a challenge? How many seeds have you sown in the past week? How many times have you distributed the Word of God to somebody else? Maybe in a booklet. Maybe in a one-to-one chat. I'm not sure how it might happen. Lots of different ways. But there's some challenging verses in Romans. in Romans in chapter 10. And the apostle there asks some questions about distributing the word of God. He says this: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And if we are concerned that people aren't responding to the message of God, perhaps it's because they haven't heard. And they haven't believed because no one's took the message to them. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Are we sowing the seed like the sower? Then I thought we'd think about the struggles of the seed, because it had a bit of a struggle, didn't it? It had a bit of a struggle. What was the sower's responsibility? His responsibility was to distribute the seed to the soil. After that, it was the responsibility of the soil, wasn't it? The sower did what he had to do and was his responsibility to sow that seed. The seed could bring new life. It had the potential to bring new life. But not every bit of soil was conducive or right to the seed taking root and making a difference. The problem wasn't with the seed. The problem was with the soil. And so the struggles of the seed are not because the word of God has got anything wrong with it. It's because of the response that it has in individuals' lives. Not everyone who hears God's message will respond. And not everyone who responds and is influenced by the message will continue to the end. Let's think about the three different types of soil that cause the seed to struggle. Firstly, there was a seed that fell on the pathway, the hard ground. The soil was too compacted down for it to make any influence on it. And we read and we spoke about how the birds came and snatched the seed away. Many people are like that, aren't they, nowadays? They may hear the word of God, and there have been people in our church here who have heard the word of God, but they go away and it makes no impression on them at all. And I guess that probably after half an hour or an hour, they've probably forgotten most of what they hear. It's sad. People's minds are closed to the message. It makes no impression on them, and the devil is happy to wipe it away. What is it that makes people so hard to the gospel? So hard to the good news of Jesus? Well, I think the first thing we ought to say is naturally we are hard to God's message. Naturally, says the Bible, we are all rebels against God. We'd much rather go our own way than follow God's instructions. And our lives and our actions prove that. And the Bible says we have that sinful nature within us. And we're blinded to what God wants to say to us. Others, of course, are hardened in their lives by the events of their life. The loss of a loved one and seeing a loved one suffer. Perhaps because of poor parenting. Perhaps because of some sort of crime that's been done to them. Others can be hardened to the message because they've been badly treated by so-called Christians. Perhaps they've been upset by the hypocrisy of those who say they are Christians, but really their lives don't show it. Perhaps others too have been hardened because they've fallen into the persuasion of the media. I think almost without exception, whenever a Christian is portrayed in the media, particularly the soap operas, they're the weird ones, aren't they? They're the stupid ones. They're the weak ones. And people's minds get hardened to the things of God because they say it's not for them. They don't want to know. How sad this is that the word of God doesn't have an opportunity. Can I challenge everyone here this morning? If we're honest, is our mind closed and our heart hard to the message? What I would say is, open your mind. Let the love of God in Jesus soften your heart. The heart of the message of God is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And the heart of the gospel is a cross. Place of suffering and shame and rejection and hardship. And yet the Lord Jesus chose to go that way, to endure these things, the sort of things that might harden us, that he might save us and give us new life. For the message of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus has gone this way to the cross, that he might endure the punishment that should have been ours, that our sin might and its consequences might be laid on him, and he might endure it and pay the punishment, so that God can be just in freeing us from our sin and giving us forgiveness and new life, whilst the Lord Jesus has taken the punishment. That's the wonderful message of God in the gospel, with its heart of a cross and the Lord Jesus dying for us as our Savior. Can you see the love that led him to do that? Can you open your heart just a little bit and let something of that love flow in and soften your mind and let the seed drop in as well and respond? The second struggle the seed had were the bits of soil that were the rocky bits. You can imagine the bits a bit close to the pathway that had been compacted, and there's lots of stones and rocks that haven't got moved out of the way yet. There's not a lot of depth in the soil. The seed this time gets going, but it struggles to put down roots. And when things get tough, like the sun coming up and it being really hot and really dry, the seed, which started well, and the plant which grew, withers and dies. What's this like? Well, I think this is like people who hear the word of God. They take it in, and it influences for them for some good. There is a response, but it doesn't seem to go very deep. Sometimes when life's problems come along, the temptation is to give up, to wither away. We may be faced with the loss of a loved one, or ill health we have to cope with, or work or financial problems, or family issues. And if we're not careful, we sometimes get a sort of underlying feeling that as a Christian, I should be exempt from these things. I've decided to follow Jesus, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, and yet these things still hit me, and it's not fair, it's not right, and somehow, you know, I don't deserve this. That's not the teaching of the Bible, of course. The Lord Jesus went all the way through the cross for us and endured such things. We have not promised an easy life as Christians. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, in this life you'll have tribulation. That doesn't necessarily say it to put us off, but to make us realize that there are huge blessings to us, but there can be struggles and difficulties as well. It's the wrong remedy to give up in such situation. You're losing the thing that can really help you through. And at such a time, to have an active Christian faith, to be trusting in God, and to be relying on the promises that he gives us, can really give us strength and see us through. So if we're going through difficult times at the minute, let's not allow our faith to wither and die. Let's hold on. Let's look to God to give us the strength we need to continue on. Let's be faithful. The third struggle that the seed had was where it fell amongst places where there were competing plants. The seed gets sown, it starts off well, the plant grows up, but around it grows up the weeds and the thorns. And what are they doing? They're taking its water. They're taking its light. And soon, what was once a pretty good, strong plant growing from the seed has withered into a weedy sort of thing. A weak sort of thing that's just about hanging in there. And you almost wouldn't know it was there unless you really looked closely. What's this like? Well, I think it's people who hear the message. They respond to the message. They seem to start off really well in being a follower of Jesus. But all sorts of other competitive things crowd in into their lives. And their Christian life and experience, their Christian faith and the practice of it gets pushed more and more and more out of the way. And you see it that they started off being very active in church and coming along regularly, and they stop coming for a week, and then it's 2 weeks, and then you see them only very occasionally. And at home they've stopped reading their Bible and praying, and they've stopped really counting themselves as a Christian. They sort of slip back into being just like anybody else. And you'd have to look really closely to see whether or not they really were a practicing Christian. It's easy for that to happen. The competition can come, said the Lord, from our priorities, what we spend our time on, the things that occupy us. And the Lord Jesus gave three examples of things that can cause our Christian life to be sort of pushed out, overwhelmed. Worries, riches, and pleasures. Worries, riches, and pleasures. How does that work? How do they compete against an active Christian faith? Worries. We're focused just on ourselves and our problems. We forget about God and leave Him out. The Bible says, yes, we are going to be worried and anxious, but we can lay them on the Lord Jesus. We can cast our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Riches. Well, if you've got plenty of money, you're very self-sufficient, aren't you? I don't need God. I can manage quite well. I can throw money at the problems. Pleasures. I'm too busy for God. I'm out having fun. I'm enjoying myself. That's all that counts. Having a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what I say. And God has left out of our lives again because we're so busy with other things. Is this true of us, that our Christian faith sometimes gets pushed aside because of worries or riches or pleasures? We need to be careful that it doesn't happen to us. The seed struggles because the soil isn't right. But I think I've seen in the garden centre, you can buy something called soil improver, can't you? If your soil isn't right, you can add stuff to it that will improve things. And can I suggest if our spiritual soil isn't right, we need to improve things. What have we said? If it's hard, if our lives are hard and there's no response, let's open our minds and hearts. Let's realize this morning the Christian message, the message from God, the gospel is a valid message that changes lives for the better. It deals with the big issues of life. Above all, it deals with where I will spend eternity. Will it be heaven or hell? We need to respond to that message. We need to trust the Lord Jesus, to have Him as our Savior, to save us from an eternity without God and under His punishment. The option is there. The opportunity is there. The seed has been sown. We need to respond. If there's no roots, if there's no depths, we need to persevere, don't we? We need to learn to trust. We need to take strength from the Bible promises. We can take encouragement from others who have gone through similar circumstances. We need to hang in there when the going gets tough. And therefore, there are competing claims on our lives. Let's set our priorities. The Bible says, set your affections on things above. That's the key. It's on Christian things, on the person of the Lord Jesus. It's the practical outworking of our faith that should be important to us. And we should be determined that nothing will divert us from that. Lastly, we don't want to get bogged down too much on the things that are going wrong. What about the things that are going right? The success of the seed. Not every seed that's sown struggles. Not every message that's preached falls on hard ground. Some goes into good ground. People who are ready to listen and to respond, it takes root and it brings new life and it's very productive. So that the one seed is bearing fruit, 60, 100-fold and things like that. There are many who hear the word of God, who receive it and become true believers in the Lord Jesus, giving their lives to Him, following Him, yielding ourselves to Him as we sang in the song. Then they grow in faith and in knowledge. They are an influence on others for good. And as I look around, I see the success of the seed in many lives here, and we should celebrate that together. I see people who have been saved for many, many years. And you've continued on the Christian pathway. You've stayed committed believer through all the ups and downs of life. You've shared your faith with others, and others have been influenced even to become believers in the Lord Jesus. You've done good deeds that benefit others and help them. You've supported the church through thick and thin and good and bad. You've attended its services regularly and been one of the fellowship. We, many of us, are trophies of the success of the seed. That word that we believed, which has changed our lives. We have been born again by the living, enduring word of God. Let's celebrate it together and give thanks to God for what he has done in our lives. Jesus said,